The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 511 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter. Love to get your feedback there, whether you agree or disagree. Keep it coming on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. A Roberts rant coming up in mere seconds. The college basketball season's heating up. Big Ten tournament is already in the books. Michigan looked great in the Big Apple and Madison Square Garden, and attendance there was really, really good. Good crowds. The conference tournaments get cranked up this week. Selection Sunday is quickly approaching, less than 1 week away, and I will tell you already, before the brackets are out, I'll tell you who I'm picking to win it all. The Rockets and the Celtics gave us a beauty this weekend. Marcus Smart almost hit a three to send it to overtime. Trevor Ariza had some clutch buckets late in that game. They don't win it without him. And I'm into these marquee Saturday night NBA games. How about Kobe Bryant? He's won five NBA titles. Now he has an Oscar. Share the wealth, Kobe. Which made him feel better? His answer may surprise you. Stay tuned. And on the lighter side, we'll throw around the best sports movies of all time. What are your favorite sports movies? I'll tell you mine coming up. And Phil Mickelson back in the action. He ended a long drought over the weekend, so we'll throw in some golf at the end of the show. All of that coming up on episode number 511 of the Sports Report podcast. Paul Roberts with you every Monday on GrizzlyProductions.tv. And of course, in the podcast section of iTunes, keep those five-star reviews coming there. We always appreciate that, and it helps to promote the show on iTunes. All right, let's get to the NFL Combine. You could not avoid all of the squawking about the Combine this weekend. I mean, social media, it was out there all the time. I call it the Spandex Olympics. Now, I have patented that name. I've been using it for many, many years. You can use it. You just owe me a nickel that if you do use it. The Spandex Olympics. But that's what we're watching here. It's field day for college football players who are entering the NFL draft. Did you guys have field day when you were growing up? We did when we were in elementary school and maybe even junior high, where, you know, you do all kinds of different games. You know, kickball and dodgeball, capture the flag maybe, all this different stuff. And that's what I think about when I don't watch the NFL Combine. Lord knows I don't watch the NFL Combine. I'd rather take my rusty nail and just jab myself in my pupil for 24 straight hours. But you can't help hearing about it. If you're on Twitter or Facebook, social media, there are people out there constantly posting things about the NFL Combine. Enough already. I get so tired of hearing about 40 times and bench press reps. Remember that Saturday Night Live skit with Chris Farley? It's a great, great crew. How much you bench? There's all these guys, they're clearly juicing. I mean, clearly on roids. I think they're all from Jersey or something like that. And they had these real tiny legs and these huge upper bodies and biceps and stuff. It was hilarious. Just Google how much you bench SNL. It was really, really funny. But I don't need to hear about, you know, bench press and broad jump and vertical jump and the almighty three cone drill. Where would we be without the three cone drill? Would football even exist without the three cone drill? And we can't forget the shuttle run too. Oh no, gotta mix that in there. You know what I care about? And call me crazy here. Feel free. What I care about is what players do with pads and helmets on in actual games. Games that matter. Call me nuts. That's what I care about. Not running around in spandex. Watch the game film, not the stinking three-cone drill. All right? That's what I want to hear about. What guys did against other top-notch teams in the games. Everyone was going bonkers about Saquon Barkley, the running back from Penn State. Now, I live just a couple hours from Penn State, so I'm in the heart of Penn State country here. Everybody around me is drinking the blue and white Kool-Aid. And Saquon Barkley tore it up at the combine. 29 reps on the bench. He ran a 4.4 40, and he's doing that at 230 pounds, I might add. He had a 41-inch vertical. But I'm thinking to myself, did you guys not watch him play? Did you not watch a single Penn State game? Hello, McFly. I mean, this is not groundbreaking, earth-shattering news. I mean, why is it news that Saquon Barkley is a freakish athlete? Watch his games. All right? The way he can stop and go. It's incredible. The balance, the vision, the power, and the speed at 230. You should know that he has all the tools. I don't need the combine and the shuttle run and the cone drill to tell me how good Saquon Barkley is. I think media bobbleheads and some fans too, maybe you're one of them, put way, way, way too much stock into the combine. Now, I'm outside of Philadelphia, so if you followed the Eagles for many years, you know the name Mike Mamula, all right? And I'll give you another, John Harris. But if you mention Mike Mamula to Eagles fans, they'll cringe because he is the classic combine warrior. Great in the spandex Olympics. Great at the NFL's version of field day. As a player, he was okay. He had a nice career. He had a long career. He wasn't a complete bust. He played for a while. I mean, there have been bigger busts, but they moved up, and there was all this hype about Mike Mamula because of what he did at the combine. And he was never a superstar player. You know what I like about Barkley? How about 21 touchdowns this past season? How about almost 6 yards a carry in the Big Ten? How about more than 50 catches? Really improved as a wide receiver. That's what I like. Ran for almost 1,300 yards. This other stuff, you know, terrific. You know, if that makes your day, fine. It does nothing for me. Another storyline was Lamar Jackson, the quarterback out of Louisville, insisting he is a quarterback. His passes at the combine were not always accurate. And again, I'm thinking to myself, duh. I mean, that was his issue at Louisville too. Nothing changed. He's a spectacular athlete. He put up gigantic stats. He's not accurate enough. And I heard Michael Vick's name mentioned. Vick was hurt his entire NFL career. Go look back at his numbers. He was hurt all the time. You can't stay healthy by constantly running around and scrambling in the NFL. Now, the linebackers, guess what? They're as fast as you are, and they're bigger than you are. The defensive ends, they're animals. I mean, you look at J.J. Watt and these guys. You better be able to complete a high percentage from the pocket. Accuracy is essential. Accuracy is number one over mobility. Period, end of story. You look at the best right now, you have Tom Brady, you have Aaron Rodgers, you have Drew Brees, you have Ben Roethlisberger. Is Roethlisberger winning any 40-yard dash races? How's he going to do in the cone drill and the shuttle run? You know, you have to be accurate. That's what wins. So I think that Lamar Jackson should at least consider going to wide receiver. I mean, look at Terrell Pryor. Another good case. Now, you know, he's a tall athlete. And he had, you know, really nice year, wide receiver with Cleveland. Now he's on the Washington Redskins. I think Jackson should at least consider it because I don't think he's accurate enough. And in this NFL, there are small windows. It's not like college where, you know, you have guys that are running free 10, 15 yards. And if it's not in stride, oh, that's all right. You know, they can stop and catch it and then keep on going again. That's not how it works in the NFL. You better be accurate. And I don't know that he is. But enough already with the combine. This is episode 511. I apologize for that Roberts rant, but it's good to get things out, right? Get them off your chest. You got to vent every now and then. Today's show is brought to you by iHome. iHome's introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology to help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. I need this after a good rant. The new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. He is the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. So go to the website iHomeAudio.com, and if you enter the code SPORTS, you'll get a 25% discount off of your purchase. Enter the code SPORTS, 25% off. Not too shabby. Look at the Zenergy line of products like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. iHome, of course, has everything else as well. The docking clock radios, the speakers, the earbuds, the headphones, on and on and on. All at the website iHomeAudio.com. Moving right along to college hoops. You know, one reason I like the college game over the NBA is the fans. College fans are going nuts at these big games. I'm watching Duke, Carolina, the Cameron Crazies, and then I'm watching a Wichita State, Cincinnati over the weekend. That is a big-time road win for the Bearcats. That's impressive. 62-61. I mean, they were even showing the decibel level inside that arena there at Wichita State. It is crazy. It's wild in there. And Cincinnati, kind of under the radar. Cincinnati's a quiet 27-4 this season. The Shockers with the loss dropped to 24-6. That's a good team, though, too. I don't consider them mid-major, and I haven't for several years. I mean, they have now established themselves as an elite program in the country. So I don't put them in that mid-major group. But the arena there was deafening. Awesome environment. And you don't get that in the NBA. You know, the fans don't have the same passion, the same energy, the same type of loyalty. You get a lot of really wealthy people in those best seats up in the front row, the courtside seats. And some of them don't say a peep. Some of them aren't big basketball fans. Some of them probably don't even follow the team. Don't even know who they're watching. Just like to be in the front row. I mean, give me a college game over the pros any day. I'm serious about that. The UNC at Duke matchup in primetime Saturday was wild. The Heels were up 13 in the second half and blew it. The Blue Devils finally started making shots, and they won the game by 10, 74-64. So that's a 23-point turnaround. You know, sometimes people get on coaches about X's and O's and strategy and why'd you do this and that. Other times, you know, it's just about making shots. That's it. In the first half, Duke was 1 of 10 from three-point land. In the second half, 8 out of 15. All right. Marvin Bagley came alive. He had 21 points, 18 of them in the second half. He had 15 boards. Grayson Allen, a.k.a. Jack Tripper from Three's Company. Now, you young bucks, you young listeners, you won't remember that, but Google Three's Company with Jack Tripper. Grayson Allen, known for, you know, tripping some people from time to time, played in his final home game, scored 15. Seems like he's grown up a lot, and that's nice to see. And let's face it, we'd all like to take some stuff back that we did in college, right? You know, they weren't all the smartest decisions of our life, some of the things that we did in college. You know, that's what college is all about. You're growing up, you're maturing, not just if you're playing sports, but as a person in general. So hopefully he has turned things around. He was very humble when talking to the crowd. I'll say that for sure. Mentioned how much more they've given to him than he's given to them. It's good to hear. A big comeback for the Dukies on senior night. Duke number 5 in the AP poll this week. Virginia's number 1. Villanova's number 2. Xavier's 3. Michigan State 4. So that's the top 5. And my national champ is coming from that group. And I'll tell you who it is. It's Villanova. And if you've listened to the show, you probably could pick that up in the past. They're my pick to win it all. And I know the brackets aren't out yet. Seeds aren't out yet. But I'm going to go with Villanova. 27-4 right now, and I have a lot of reasons. Jay Wright, phenomenal coach. His teams play the game the right way. They play defense. They value the basketball. They're smart. He's already won a championship, so he knows how to do it. They can really shoot the three. They're at 40% as a team. 5 guys with 45 or more three-pointers for Villanova. Brunson's a dynamic point guard. I really like when he has the ball. So steady, great demeanor, never gets rattled. He's averaging 19 points, 5 assists. He's shooting 53% from the field. Love that efficiency. Then you have Bridges, who's a very athletic wing, 18 points, 5 rebounds. He's projected as a first-round pick, and he's also shooting over 50% from the field. DiVincenzo is a scrappy, blue-collar kid, and he's scoring 14 points a game. He'll do the little things. He'll rebound, plays bigger than he is. I feel like I can trust this group more than a lot of the other highly-ranked teams in the country. Virginia is another team, extremely well coached, and they can lock you down defensively and throw away the key. Look what they did to Pittsburgh. I think Pitt had 1 field goal in that game. 1 field goal in the first half in that game. Unbelievable. But Nova has more firepower than Virginia does. So I'm telling you now, take the Cats to go deep in your bracket. Take them to go far in your NCAA pool, which we all know is just for fun, right? Just for amusement purposes only. No one would actually wager on something like that. No. Heaven forbid. If you don't pick Villanova to win it all, pick them to go far. Trust me. Michigan, now they'll probably get upset in their first game. Michigan looks great too right now. 9 straight wins, Big Ten tournament champs. They took out Michigan State by 11 in the semifinals. Then they beat Purdue by 9 in the championship game. And I've talked at length over the years about John Beilein. He was at Richmond. He was Richmond's head coach when my brother was going to school at the University of Richmond. So I would watch a lot of their games, and I knew what type of coach he was. Then he went to West Virginia, and he won there. The man gets his kids to guard. They play really good defense. They are smart, and they win. And he wins. Whether it was Richmond, whether West Virginia, or now Michigan, he wins. Now, Michigan may not have the lottery pick type of talent that some other teams have, like a Michigan State, but they're very, very well-balanced, and they're unselfish. They killed Purdue with the pick and roll. I mean, I don't know how many layups and dunks that they got from running the pick and roll. And if they would have made any of their threes in the first half, that game would have been a total blowout. Would have been a behind the woodshed special. And Purdue is a good team. You have Isaac Haas in the middle there, 7'2", giant. He's a little robotic at times, and he misses some gimme layups, but he is a monster. Huge dude. A Wolverine's up to number 7 in the new polls. Kansas is now at number 9. Go back to the trust factor. Can you trust the Jayhawks? I don't know. 2 losses to Oklahoma State. Okie State's 8-10 in Big 12 play. They beat the Jayhawks Saturday 82-64. Wasn't even close. I'm not sure that Kansas has enough around Devontae Graham, the senior guard who averages nearly 18 points a game. He also gives them 7 assists. Really, really good guard. One of the best in the country. And then when I look at the teams ranked 10-25, I don't see any juggernauts. I mean, the best players leave school early. They go to the NBA, they're one and done. So you don't have the dominant teams anymore. And I always think about UNLV with Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon and Greg Anthony and Anderson Hunt. I mean, those were dominant, dominant teams. You don't get that now because the best, they're gone. You get them for here, and then they're out of there. Even programs like Duke now, you know, it's 1 year and done. But I gave you Villanova. I know the brackets aren't out yet, but who are you leaning to cut the nets down and win the NCAA tournament? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. Moving on episode number 511 of the Sports Report. Little NBA, Rockets Celtics, 123-120. Houston gets the W. Good game. Celtics were up 6 at half, still up 3 after the third quarter. And then Houston dropped 37 points in the fourth quarter. And here's the scary part. James Harden did not shoot well. 6 out of 18. He had 26. He had 10 assists. He did have 7 rebounds. CP3, 15 points. I was more impressed with a couple other guys, Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza. 29 points in 27 minutes for Eric Gordon off of that bench. And Ariza had 21, and he was money in the last 2 minutes of the game. He made some big, big shots. So the big picture takeaway for me, those two guys, Ariza and Gordon, must play well for Houston to knock off Golden State out west. Because, you know, those are the two best. It's not close. And I trust what I'm going to get from James Harden and Chris Paul, but it's those other guys that are going to have to play well for Houston. Boston shot the ball really well, 13-24 from three-point land, and still lost. The bench provided 67 points, 21 for Morris, 18 for Monroe, 17 for Rozier. Kyrie was off too, 6 of 17, did have 18 points. Celtics were right there at the end. Boston is the 2 seed right now in the East, 2 games behind Toronto. You know, I'm still not sure I'm buying Toronto as far as what they're going to do in the postseason. And out west, Houston leads Golden State by a half game. The Portland Trailblazers are the 3 seed right now, but they're 12 games in back of Golden State. So you have a big separation there, a big gap between Golden State, Houston, and then Portland at number 3. Celtics are 7 games up on Cleveland for the number 2 seed there. Again, Toronto's the 1, Boston's the 2, and then Cleveland now 7 games back. But those are your heavy hitters, to say the least. This is episode 511 of the Sports Report podcast, and how about Kobe Bryant? Won another trophy. No, not an MVP award or an NBA championship trophy. This one from the Oscars. That's right, in the animated short category. Did you stay up and watch it on Sunday? I did. Kobe brought home the golden statue for his contributions to the animated short called Dear Basketball, which is based on a poem that he wrote in 2015 when he announced his retirement. He is the executive producer, and he got the Oscar from Mark Hamill. You know, is Kobe a Star Wars fan? I mean, that'd be neat if he was. Kobe said, as basketball players, we are really supposed to shut up and dribble, but I'm glad we do a little bit more than that. And you know what that's about there. Yes, you do. So Kobe took a little jab, took a little shot at Laura Ingraham of Fox, who went after LeBron. And then LeBron tweeted to Kobe saluting him on the Oscar, hashtag, we are more than shut up dribble. Now, this is what I found noteworthy about this, and I found it surprising too. Bryant told reporters in the interview room after receiving the award, quote, I feel better than winning a championship. To be honest with you, I swear I do. Are you buying that? Are you buying that Kobe feels better about winning this Oscar for his animated film as opposed to winning an NBA title? I don't know. Bryant went on to say, I wake up in the morning. I can't wait to write. I can't wait to get to the studio. He's doing a lot of writing. Said he got the inspiration to turn this project into a film from his 11-year-old daughter, who said, Dad, you always tell us to go after our dreams. So, quote, man up. He might have his hands filled down the road if he's got an 11-year-old who's already telling him to man up. Kobe's now 39, 20 seasons with the Lakers, won 5 titles. Fantastic player, terrific player, really had the killer instinct there. So congratulations to him. And in honor of the Oscars, I thought I would ask you, what are your favorite sports movies? For me, Hoosiers has always been number one and will always be number one. Came out in 86 with Gene Hackman as the head coach of the small town Indiana High School, Hickory High, and Dennis Hopper was his assistant coach. Had a little problem with the bottle in that movie. Who could forget Jimmy Chitwood with that smooth jumper as the star player at Hickory High? Some of my other favorites, Raging Bull, came out in 1980 with Robert De Niro as Jake LaMotta. And De Niro put on a lot of weight for parts of that film. North Dallas 40, if you're younger, you may not be familiar with this, came out in 1979. It's a look at the ugly side of pro football, North Dallas 40. Hoop Dreams, I've always thought this is underrated. I really, really like it. They follow the lives of two young basketball players from Chicago, and they have dreams of playing pro ball. And I really liked it. That came out in 94. Bull Durham, you know about this, right? Tim Robbins, Kevin Costner, Susan Sarandon came out in the late 80s. Entertaining film about minor league baseball. And then you have Major League out in 1989 with Charlie Sheen and Bob Uecker and Wesley Snipes. Very funny. Major League is a classic. That should be top 5 for all of you. Slapshot, if you're a hockey fan, this one came out in the late 70s. Paul Newman stars in it. What an actor he was. And who can forget the Hanson brothers with their glasses in a Slapshot, a look at minor league hockey. And another boxing one, Cinderella Man, was out in 2005 with Russell Crowe playing James J. Braddock. And Paul Giamatti is his manager. I think Paul Giamatti is a fantastic actor. I really, really do. Now, I didn't mention Caddyshack because, to me, Caddyshack is a comedy. And what a cast there. Oh, man. Bill Murray, Chevy Chase, Rodney Dangerfield, Ted Knight. Oh, I love the movie. Don't get me wrong. I just don't view it as a sports movie. So I didn't include Caddyshack there. But for me, Hoosiers is number one. And I enjoy going to the movies. You know, it's a nice escape. And I've seen 4 or 5 of the movies that were nominated for Best Picture. The Shape of Water won. I haven't seen that one yet. I don't know. The sea creature stuff kind of turned me off a little bit. But I was wrong about Game of Thrones. I thought that was this nerdy Dungeons and Dragons show, and I absolutely love it. It's one of the best shows that I've ever seen. So maybe I should give The Shape of Water a shot here. I saw Darkest Hour. Very glad that Gary Oldman won for Best Actor playing Winston Churchill. He was fantastic in the movie, and you should see that one too. I like that one better than Dunkirk, and they both deal with the same issue that's going on at the time. Hitler's invading. They're trying to get British troops out of Dunkirk, trying to get them off the beach. And I thought Dunkirk was okay, just not a best picture to me. There's very little dialogue in this movie. You don't really get connected to any of the actors, any of the characters. Visually, it's tremendous. I mean, as far as cinematography goes, the aerial shots from the airplanes in this movie, really, really good. But if you can only see one, see Darkest Hour before you see Dunkirk. Get Out, to me, was another one that I thought good, not great. I know it got a lot of hype. The reviews were outstanding. It's unique. It's a different type of horror film because there is some comedy mixed in. But to me, it was not a best picture. I mean, I have high standards, so I didn't think it was a best picture. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, I loved it. I really, really did. Now, it's not for everybody. It's going to depress some people. It's about serious issues. Kind of like Manchester by the Sea to me, in that you have, you know, a tragic event. And then how do people deal with it? How do they grieve? How do they keep on going? What do they do? But what acting in this across the board? Frances McDormand won for Best Actress. I'm glad she won. She was also in Fargo. And Sam Rockwell won for Best Supporting Actor. And they both really deserved it. I mean, really, really deserved it. The end of the film bugged me a little bit because you don't get complete closure there. That would be my only knock, but I did really like it. Of the ones I've seen so far that were nominated for Best Picture, I would say Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri is number one. And Frances McDormand, I mean, don't mess around with her in this movie. And Woody Harrelson is in it too, and he was also very good. And there are some crazy twists and turns in this. It is worth seeing. Best Director went to Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. I also want to see The Post with Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep. So once I see that, you know, I'll let you know about that. That looked good too. But some good ones. I don't know that overall was a great year for movies, but I wouldn't say a bad year. And I was happy at the winners because I thought they were deserving. This is episode number 511 of the Sports Report Podcast. Paul Roberts with you every Monday. Before we check out here, little bit of golf. How about Phil Mickelson wins his first tournament since the 2013 British Open? Where have you been, Lefty? And I'm a fan of Phil's. It seems like, you know, man of the people out there. He posted a final round, 5-under-66, and he's been playing well. It wasn't just this tournament. The 47-year-old Mickelson beat Justin Thomas, and they know each other very well, on the first hole of a sudden death playoff to win the WGC Mexico Championship. Thomas had an eagle on the 18th. Did you see this? 120 yards out, lands on the green, rolls right back into the hole for an eagle on number 18. He then did come up short in the playoff, but that was an amazing shot. He and Phil both finished 16 under, and Phil has now had four consecutive top 10 finishes. First time he's done that since 2005, 13 years ago. You know what I would love to see? And this is probably wishful thinking. I would love to see Phil and Tiger in contention at the Masters. There are a couple other tournaments before then, but that's what I want to see. I want to see that again. Phil and Tiger on the leaderboard. They don't have to win it. I just want them to be on the leaderboard. I'm not going to get too greedy and say I need them to win. Just in contention on Sunday, definitely making the cut at the Masters. That's what I'd love to see. And again, Phil is playing really well. So congratulations to him. First win since 2013, the British Open. Whew. Man, oh man, oh man. That'll do it for episode 511 of the Sports Report Podcast. Tell your friends, your coworkers, your family members about the show if they're into sports. 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. Have a great week, everybody. I'm going to be shoveling in the middle of this week. We got another snowstorm coming here. Although it really hasn't been that bad of a winter, but I'm not looking forward to this one. Who knows? Maybe the weather people get it wrong like they usually do. Last week where I live, they predicted 2-3 inches. We got nothing. I kid you not. Not a single snowflake. Nothing. Not even close to an inch. And they're saying 2, maybe 3 inches. It's a great job to have. You can be constantly wrong and people still listen to your every word. What other job is like that? You can be wrong all the time and people still stop to hear what you have to say. I'm on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. And again, in the podcast section of iTunes, just type in the Sports Report with Paul Roberts. Thanks again for listening. This has been episode number 511 on GrizzlyProductions.tv.